Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160. That's the call-in line. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Joe.
And Beakless Mountaineer.
And space aliens are on my mind. Evidently, Obama has said that UFOs are out there, which isn't surprising. I mean, Congress as a whole came out recently and was like, yeah, our pilots have footage of them trying to chase down UFOs and being unsuccessful at it because they're just getting outmaneuvered by these unidentified aircraft that are running circles around us. I've always found it fascinating, right? This whole denialism of the U.S. government. I don't know what happened with Roswell, and there's so much nonsense about it that, you know, trying to decipher it 60 years later, 70 years later is a complete waste of time. But there is documented evidence of U.S. Navy pilots and Air Force pilots, you know, chasing down UFOs and being unsuccessful at it. And this goes all the way back to World War II, where pilots reported, you know, the same sort of stuff going on.
Well, and I think it's important up front to, okay, there anyone who doesn't think there are such things as UFOs is not being precise with what a UFO is. Obviously, there are things that fly that we don't know what they are.
Absolutely. Now, when I say UFO, though, I don't mean like a Frisbee. Not a Frisbee. A Frisbee wouldn't fly. I don't mean something, just a vague, unidentified flying object. I'm generally referring to an extraterrestrial spacecraft.
Right.
Something not of this world, right? Then that can. I've seen some of this footage where they take hard angles, and I've never seen any craft in our world that can do those things.
Nor have I.
Well,
but I mean, the American public is like 12 years, I think, behind what the U.S. Air Force's technological capabilities actually are. A person who saw, you know, a stealth bomber back when they were just being developed and tested and all of that probably would have thought it was a UFO. So what is the U.S. Air Force doing now that we don't know about and that we won't know about for another decade or so?
And I mean, people like us who actually pay attention to, you know, how much gets spent on the military every year are very well aware that there is just an enormous sum of money. And that's...
It's something like $1 trillion, isn't it? Or
yeah,
more?
And that's just what gets spent on the books. Like, never mind the fact that, well, the CIA runs the entire drug market of cocaine on the planet, and all of that goes into black budgets. So,
sure.
Never mind the fact that occasionally they'll just say, yeah, this $5 trillion got put into a you-don't-get-to-know-what-it-is.
Well, didn't the U.S. Pentagon lose, like, $4-point-something trillion?
Don't know where it went.
Whoops.
That was, what, the day before 9/11, right?
I don't know what day it was.
I just remember Rumsfeld talking about how they lost a lot of money, and then the next day, the towers went down.
Yeah, and that one, unlike most money losses, that was literal currency, like, you could hold it in your hand, well, you could hold it on enough forklifts, like, actual dollar bills, and just, oh, we don't know where they went.
I'm thinking of something different than something that was more recent, like, within the last few years, where they were like, hey, we have $4.3 trillion here that we should be able to account for, but we can't.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the U.S. government doing stuff like spending $30,000 to educate Filipino hookers on how to use condoms. I don't believe for a moment the U.S. government actually spent $30,000 on that. Instead, they probably spent $3,000 on that and siphoned $27,000 off to some sort of secret military program.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the U.S. government does.
And every time that they spend, like, oh, well, we needed to buy a hammer that we spent $4,000 on. Well, yep, it needed to be the right hammer. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So you have this enormous amount of human power, because, I mean, basically that's what you get with money. You
sure.
can say, okay, this project needs to be developed by these experts. You can get their focus on it. So, and obviously you're not going to let anyone know that you have this technology. I mean, it's real simple stuff. When strong appear weak, when weak appear strong, you don't, if you're trying to do tactics, you don't let people know what you do and don't have. I mean, of the things that have come out, like when they, you know, used a Turing device to crack the codes, they had to figure out, okay, which time are we going to use this? Because once we start acting on this, it's going to be obvious that we've cracked their code.
Right. Well, coming to us from MSNBC... For as long as humans have been capable of defying gravity, flinging ourselves into the heavens with metal wings, we've seen things in the sky that we can't explain. I would say it goes back further. I mean, there are paintings from, like, the Renaissance and earlier that depict flying objects.
Well, that one's a little tricky because, I mean, you are attempting to sort of capture an archetype when you're doing these very, they tend to be very divinely inspired kind of paintings. So it actually makes plenty of sense for you to personify the sun and moon in some of these paintings and to do things that in our modern context we would think, oh, well, that's a scene out of Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Sure. But I think the art that I'm referring to is more specific than what you're referring to. These are like metal-ish looking objects. I think one is a painting of Venice, if I remember correctly, or somewhere in Italy. And it's pretty clearly a modern human would say, "Hey, yeah, that's supposed to be a spaceship or whatever." It's an area of study that's been, for the most part, confined to the fringes of polite society, but now these unexplained flying objects have captured the attention of mainstream America and Congress. The author then goes into some nonsense about the X-Files that really isn't important. They played a clip that was released just ahead of CBS 60 Minutes interview with two former Navy pilots who recounted their experience with unidentified aerial phenomena, which is what they're calling it now instead of UFOs, because it sounds better, I guess. Or UAPs.
Well, I mean, I guess at least you're trying to get at the idea of, like, hey, let's not assume that everything we don't know what it is the spaceship of a foreign traveler from another planet. Like, those two are ideas that generally get conflated in most people's heads. They're like, I don't believe in UFOs. No, you don't believe in alien spacecraft.
Well, if we're not trained to actually, not so much trained, but if we don't have any experience of things happening before, you don't really expect them. So, like, when Christopher Columbus came to the shores, they just, like, were in awe. Like, they thought they were seeing aliens because they'd never seen these large wooden ships with sails. And so they just their brain just shut it out. Like, they had no idea when they first, like, were looking at it. And that could be the same thing that's going on with us, is that maybe these aliens are up there and they're flying around. We're just not paying attention because we just assume they're not there. So if we pay attention, maybe we'll see them more.
Yeah, and the thing is, you don't know what you don't know. So right. We have no idea what kind of technology is available to some people on the planet and not available to other people on the planet.
Sure. But the universe is 13.5 billion years old. Humanity is a couple of hundred thousand. There is a large time span there where life could have evolved elsewhere and more than likely did evolve elsewhere.
Oh, sure.
And would be tens of millions, if not billions, of years ahead of us technologically.
Not necessarily.
I said could be. I didn't say would be. I mean, there could also be microbes out there that are significantly less developed than we are, but... Our technology in the grand scheme of things is about 15,000 years old was when humans started, you know, agriculture and really started trying to develop technologically.
Mm-hmm.
In 15,000 years, we've accomplished a lot. But just think about the technological evolutions of the last three decades,
mm-hmm.
from the advent of the internet to the rise of Bitcoin to cell phones to video streaming to all of these other things that happened just within the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Technologically seems to accelerate as it develops for more and more, and presumably you get to a point where you either annihilate your own species, which humans will more than likely do because we're a bunch of violent, psychotic little apes, and I think this is
not all of us.
No, but humans as a whole are.
Sure.
We are both. We are both psychotic apes and workers of miracles.
Yeah, but I think there are a lot more violent, psychotic apes out there than there are workers of miracles.
I think it goes straight down the heart of every human being. Like, you have the better angels and the worst demons of your own nature.
I mean, 99% of people in the United States are statists,
well,
which makes them violent monkeys.
I would say you only need a few violent monkeys to start controlling the masses. As you can see, there's only a couple thousand U.S. government officials that are making all these decisions.
Also, right. A good point. What do you think about extraterrestrials? Are they out there? If so, why haven't we heard anything from them? Why haven't we ever seen them? Why haven't we ever spoken with them?
If any aliens are out there, come on down. We want to talk to you.
I think they're probably avoiding us because, I mean, we kill each other. What would we do to them? It's Free Talk Live.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
303-283-6160. You can call in and talk about anything you want. Change the subject. Talk about aliens with us. Whatever. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio, it's Aria, Joa, and Peakless Mountaineer. And I got good news. I finally got permission today to... I actually got permission to go to ForkFest.
Yay!
Congratulations.
It's dependent on whether or not Ian is going to be there, obviously. There's so much left up in the air right now. My attorney is going to file a motion to amend the conditions so that hopefully Ian and I can talk about the show that, you know, he and I have been doing together for the last 2 years. And among those things will be, well, is anyone going to ForkFest? Are we going to do the show from there? But as it currently stands, I will be there unless Ian is there, in which case I'll just stay home because... ForkFest is more Ian's than it is mine, so...
Well, isn't he under, like, basically house arrest?
Yes. I mean, who knows? But it is work, and he's...
Oh, it's the government. We can't even depend on them to tyrannize us properly.
And he's allowed to travel for work, so... I don't know.
That is a good point, and that's absolutely work.
Like I said, there's just so much in the air that it's hard to say for sure, but someone will be at ForkFest... this year, June the 28th through July the 4th, and we'll also be at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is good because I've been asked to speak there at 10 o'clock Saturday morning.
Nice.
Man, that's early in the morning for me.
Oh, I know.
But I will make it happen. Looking forward to it, but ForkFest is what I'm most looking forward to. It's June the 28th through July the 4th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire, so come on up, hang out with us. ForkFest.party is the website. ForkFest.party. Let's go to the phones. We got Scott calling from Florida. Scott, let me guess. You're going to talk about the banking system, and then you're going to rail against the Jews.
Yes. Before you do, I've got to ask you.
My whole MO. Scott, can I ask you something?
Yes.
Okay. So the Ashkenazi test at about one standard deviation higher in IQ than your average person.
Right.
So do you really think it's fair to say everything is their fault because they happen to have a higher IQ and are thus more effective at both good and bad things? I mean, for example, you never include the fact that Ludwig von Mises is also a Jew. Or was, right?
I do voice a complaint when a lot of the evils and immorality in the world comes from Jews. That's not to say that Gentiles... are not capable of that. Of course they are. But the difference between Jews and Gentiles is that such a tiny percentage of the world's
more effective. They're more effective at good and ill. That's what IQ does.
Yeah. But anyway, sir, I'd like to say that the Rothschilds, I don't know if your audience is aware of that, you don't hear their name often, but they control the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England, and they are the world's bankers. That's what they basically are in a nutshell. They are the world's bankers. And the Rothschilds are not billionaires, they are trillionaires. To figure out their wealth, to get a scope on how their wealth is, if you were to take Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, the Walton family that owns Walmart, Michael Bloomberg, Larry Ellison that owns Oracle, you would take all of these people, add up their wealth back to back to back, the Rothschilds would still, hands down, still have a lot more wealth. Than they do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that, Scott. I'm seeing a net worth of $400 billion for the family, which is a lot.
So the problem with it is that what they basically control is a system of banks. And when what you control can create loans, it becomes almost impossible to track how much money you actually have. How much money do you have? As much as you want. Because when you're the person that can create loans, I mean, the modern world...
Well, that's only under the fractional. That's only under the fractional reserve banking system.
Which is everywhere.
In an ideal world, they would actually have the money that they're loaning out, so it would be traceable. But right. In the fractional reserve system, which is the one we have, they can loan out up to 9 times the amount of money they actually have.
Well,
which
that
of
used
course
to be
gets
cool.
Yes, now it's infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no reserve requirements.
This is a black hole that they can we could never fill and pay back these debts that we supposedly owe.
So, yeah, and
we never will.
And they're
not my debts.
A go-to name in this because they are extremely prominent in the banking world. But really, it's everyone who has a bank at this point has an uncountable sum of money because they can at will say that this deserves a loan, they get free money. This does not deserve a loan, they do not get free money.
Yeah, for those who are unclear on how this works, right, you think when you deposit $10,000 into a bank or whatever that, you know, they're going to loan that out to someone and that person's going to pay it back and they're going to, you know, throw a few pennies into your account on the interest for interest or whatever. But how it actually works is they use your $10,000 as collateral to loan out $100,000. And the person to whom they loan this money doesn't actually receive any money. The bank just writes down that they had $1,000 and now it belongs to this other person. This other person doesn't actually receive that money, and then they have to pay it back.
Right.
And the bank suddenly has that $100,000, which they used to turn around and loan out $1 million. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's the way it worked prior to the pandemic. Of course, now there is no actual reserve requirement. You notice I kept referring to 10% just there because mm-hmm. that's what the requirement was. Now it's 0%.
Yep, that's scary.
They can loan an infinite amount of money out, and they've been doing so.
But I'd like to continue by saying the Rothschilds, it's not just being bankers. They have caused endless wars throughout history, political upheavals. They have bet against one country defeating another. They
well, and that's part of it.
I would point out, though, Scott, that the biggest war in American history was started in an attempt to annihilate the Jews and was not, in fact, caused by Jews. And that's the biggest war in human history.
Actually, it is debatable as to how much the Rothschilds had their hands in the creation of World War II. So here's one of the things about being a banker. The more wars that can go on, especially with established industrialized countries, the more you can get loans for all of the guns that they're going to need for those wars. So that's a standard banker tactic, and the Rothschilds are certainly no exception there, of we're going to loan money to both sides of a war, then whoever wins will pay us back first.
I want to leave you with a thought. Since 1913, when the Federal Reserve was created by Paul Warburg, the Rothschilds, it's lost, the U.S. dollar's lost 97-98% of its value. And people are ignorant. They think it's part of the U.S. government. It's not part of the U.S. government at all. It is a separate institution unto itself.
Scott, actually, that also changed with the COVID relief bill.
That's right. The Treasury took over, didn't they?
Yep. It has now been incorporated back into the U.S. government. It is now part of the Treasury. Our super capitalist leader is the one that made us officially a communist nation.
Scott, thank you so much tonight for the call. It's refreshing to hear you not just railing about Jews and actually talking about things that matter. You're correct, of course. I would phrase it as the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar has decreased by 98% since 1913.
Mm-hmm.
Because saying that the U.S. dollar's value has decreased doesn't really mean a lot. It's still one U.S. dollar, right? But the amount of stuff that you can purchase with $1 has decreased by 98%. The two pennies in your pocket could have bought in 1913 what a dollar would have bought. That's how worthless your money is. 603-283-6160. Thank you. That's the call line, 283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Progress is being made on a police reform bill Congress is currently negotiating. In a statement from South Carolina Republican Senator Tim Scott, Democratic Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, and California Congresswoman Karen Bass, the lawmakers said differences on key issues still remain. Tempers continue to flare in the Senate over confirmation hearings as a vote is expected later this week over President Biden's nomination of Kristen Clark for Assistant Attorney General. Clark would run the Justice Department Civil Rights Division if she's confirmed. Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky Mitch McConnell says Clark has an extremist view.
I have a long history of statements that place the nominee on, frankly, the far-left fringe of the political spectrum.
Democrats accusing Republicans of initiating a vicious smear campaign against Clark. You're listening to USA Radio News. New York City schools will be fully reopened with no remote option for the start of next year.
Every single child will be back in the classroom. I have talked to so many parents who have been wanting to hear this confirmed, and I am confirming it once and for all.
Mayor Bill de Blasio pointing to strong coronavirus data citywide and in the school system. Parents will be invited to tour schools starting in June to be reassured of their safety from coronavirus. Right now, more than half of the city's roughly 1 million students are doing all remote. Strong earthquakes are continuing to rock China.
China has suffered two intense earthquakes in the past 2 days, with at least nearly 3,000 foreshocks and aftershocks affecting areas across western China. Many residents in quake-hit areas of Yunnan and Qinghai provinces say they had to take rescues into their own hands, as help did not arrive soon enough. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. You can call in and talk about whatever you want. We're trying to talk about UFOs and extraterrestrials and all of that other supposedly kooky stuff, but I actually think it's kind of kooky not to believe that there are extraterrestrials out there. Whether or not they're visiting Earth is a completely different matter. I think that's probably unlikely, to be honest, but...
Well,
I think the existence of extraterrestrials in a universe...
Well, now you've cut off your own premise, though.
How so?
Well, so, I mean, we were talking about UFOs.
Yeah, I'm not... I want to believe that the UFOs are extraterrestrials, but I don't actively believe that. My response is, I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know what they are. They could be anything.
Well, so, I mean, there's a difference between extraterrestrial life and extraterrestrial civilization, and especially the kind of extraterrestrial civilization that could ever interact with human beings.
Sure. I think that extraterrestrial life is a given. I think that extraterrestrial civilizations are likely, given the size of our universe. I mean, given the size of our galaxy, there's almost certainly other civilizations out there.
I wouldn't go that far.
You wouldn't. There's 100 billion stars in our galaxy alone.
So I think
100 billion, each one of which has, you know, 4 to 5 to 10 planets orbiting it,
mm-hmm.
any one of which could be within the habitable zone. And although... intelligence, or sapience, sentience, isn't an end goal of evolution. Humans tend to think it is, right?
Right.
But it isn't. It's just that was the adaptation that we developed that allowed us to thrive in our environment. I think it's true enough here on Earth that it's a useful adaptation that it's likely to evolve elsewhere as a way of coping with the need to survive.
And that's where I'm a lot more skeptical. I mean,
I'm not saying it's happened a lot.
If you look,
but even if it's only 1%.
Obviously, this environment, Earth, is the ideal environment to...
No, that's the Anthropic principle.
Well...
We don't... It's the environment...
It is obviously the ideal environment for this organism to come into existence.
Yes.
Like, by definition.
Yes.
Okay. And one of the things that is most obvious about this particular organism is that our whole setup is putting everything into intelligence. Like, we've got a few, like, backup skills. Like, we are surprisingly hardy. We've got a nice, you know, wide variety of food we can eat.
Well, we have an insane level of endurance as well.
Yes, yes. We have a really high level of endurance. We have sweating, which is a weird superpower, but it actually is one. And we have intelligence. That's, like, our dump stat. I'm saying it backward. But anyway, that's our focus stat,
right,
is intelligence. So I don't think that the universe bets on that one stat very often.
I don't think it has to do it very often. I mean, it doesn't even matter if it's 0.001% of times. I mean, there's enough planets within our galaxy alone that are likely within a habitable zone that it almost certainly arose elsewhere. I mean, well, the numbers we're talking about here are beyond human comprehension, and that's just our galaxy alone. There's hundreds of billions of galaxies.
Well, I'm not sure that we've proven that it's a survivable trait to have. I mean...
Well, it's only going to be survivable long enough to develop, right?
Well, seeing that we haven't, as in human race on Earth, we haven't discovered any extraterrestrial or intelligent life anywhere else, says to me that maybe other intelligent life hasn't discovered us yet. So it's hard to say which way or another.
Also a good point. And the possibility of these periods of extraterrestrial intelligent life existing and overlapping with the existence of humanity is exceedingly low anyway.
Right.
Like I said, you know, humans have existed in our current form for about 100,000 years, which is a thumbnail in the grand scheme of things. It's not very likely, I don't think, that humans are going to survive another few 100,000 years.
Okay, so if humans you don't think will survive another 100,000 years, I mean, I think we probably will, but it's certainly not certain. Then what
it would
makes
help
you,
if we could get off of Earth.
Well, what makes you think, then, that in the billions of years that life might have to exist, and in the fraction of a second that it might take for something intelligent like us with the particular, opposable thumb equivalent like us to create a starship, like, why would that flicker happen to be at the same time as ours?
That's what I just said. The possibility of their existence overlapping with ours is exceedingly low.
Since they haven't come here yet, which would mean they got more intelligent than us sooner. Or,
yeah.
Now, variations of the human species, on the other hand, that I think is very likely.
How like, so?
Okay, so there's a lot of evidence that that civilizations before ours have had advanced technology. It's a very different form of advanced
technology.
I've looked
into some of this, and I don't disagree. I don't agree that there's any evidence to support.
Okay. Megalithic structures.
Yeah.
We have no way.
You mean like the Great Pyramid, presumably?
That is one of them.
We could build the Great Pyramid now if we wanted to.
No, we couldn't.
Yeah, we could.
No, we actually couldn't. I mean, honestly,
I mean, we literally built the Luxor in Nevada that is about the same scale.
Nothing like it.
No, one is just made out of stone and one is made out of steel. But if we wanted to put in the effort and spend the money to do it, we absolutely have the technology to move stones that weigh 20 tons.
I'll tell you why. So if that's possible, then why hasn't someone made the attraction?
Well, look, that's...
Because it's going to cost billions of dollars in human terms right now.
But you go to Capitol buildings across the United States, and they're all made out of large chunks of marble, and I wouldn't see why they couldn't build the pyramids today. It's just that we made them more beautiful.
And out of much, much smaller pieces of rock. And when you're talking about megalithic structures, I mean...
Well, ours also aren't religious in nature either. And
technically they count, but like if you really want to talk megalithic structures, Göbekli Tepe. Now, that's one that we just, to this day, could not lift a rock that big. We cannot lift it, let alone move it across the area that it needed to move across.
We have cranes that can build 110-story buildings.
Mm-hmm.
we certainly have the technological tools.
One small piece at a time.
That's how the pyramids were also built. One piece at a time. It's not like they took 50,000 stones and moved them and set them down in a different place. They moved them one at a time and lifted them and placed them one at a time.
Well, so if you look at the size of a girder.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that is what I mean by a small piece. Now, even the pyramids, if you look at the size of those stones, we actually can't do that.
There have literally been experiments showing that human beings can move those stones of that weight.
To the heights that has.
Well, they used ramps and stuff. So, yeah, I don't see any...
Honestly, if we were capable of it, given how much labor we can do with machines now, compared to the amount of labor you can do by human muscle power, if it is that easy, then
I would
love
to see... We're not motivated to do it because it's a waste of time and money, and we don't have that religious motivation pushing us as they did then.
Well, and
we're not
you,
like, I have to do this, or I'm not going to the afterlife.
If you look at the population size that they had and the amount of man hours that you could easily, okay, not $1 billion, not even $1 million, but yeah, like 40 years worth of that size of a town in one third of their year, which is what they actually did their public works during.
No, scientists estimated that the Great Pyramid was built in 20 years, less than 20.
Great. You can easily afford that. With the amount of...
Who's going to foot this bill?
Someone who's going to make an attraction. See? How awesome we are? Here's a perfect recreation of the Great Pyramids of Giza.
I mean, we did that. There's one in Memphis and there's one in Luxor. Is your issue just that they're not made out of limestone?
Yes. What? That's fundamentally different.
Makes sense. I mean,
like, you're pretty much saying that my sandcastle that I built just the same way is just the same. No,
because your sandcastle is 3 feet tall.
Okay.
Versus,
right.
You know, the Taj Mahal, which is not.
But
I'm not comparing
the two. It's not the same size, but it was built the same way. That is exactly how sensible it is to say that the Luxor is as monumental of a building task as the Great Pyramid.
No, I would say that
again.
Your argument would be a lot better if you focused on the precision of the Great Pyramid.
I like to bring the scale down from the giant pyramid to, let's just say they invented some sort of device like a cell phone. This amount of years since the pyramids were built, if they had some sort of cell phone, it would have been disintegrated and eroded by now. So a lot of technology they had batteries back then. I could easily see that they had advanced technology. But they did try to preserve everything. They didn't show that. So,
what are your thoughts on all of this? Were the Great Pyramids or the pyramids in Gaza built by previous human civilization?
Giza.
I just said Gaza, didn't I? It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices?
Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. You can call in and talk about whatever you want, or you can join us in this conversation about the Great Pyramid and aliens and previous human civilizations, and it's suddenly like an episode of Coast to Coast, whatever that show is called. I don't remember now. Yeah.
Well, you know, we may as well step into those shoes since we are a live call-in show.
Yeah.
From time to time, why not talk about aliens?
With you in the studio, of course, it's Aria.
And Joa.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
And we're talking about the Great Pyramid here. Peakless Mountaineer seems to think that the Great Pyramid was built by human civilizations mm-hmm. that existed prior to ours. Presumably, mm-hmm. civilizations rise and fall and rise and fall. And, you know, they get lost in the ravages of time. I don't think that's impossible. Well, I just don't know that it's likely.
It's also something that our academia has specifically avoided the knowledge of. So a lot of people actually think that the pyramid complex was built like 13,000 years ago because of the wearing that's on the Sphinx.
Right.
And I think that's actually a red herring.
And let's not forget how silly these people are. They recently found a stone object. And they called it a stone replication of a cucumber. Now, use your imagination to figure out what it actually was, because it was designed for women. But the historians are so clueless that they decided it was a statue of a cucumber.
Hmm.
And that's what they went with as their official, yep, that's what this is. So these people are kind of not good at their jobs. I'm not any better.
Did they not notice it was polished?
I don't know. But that actually happened. It's a real thing, and it happened recently.
Do you know that that's actually what the lesbians were known for? It was the claim to fame of the Isle of Lesbos. Best dildos in the world.
I was trying to avoid that word.
Oh, are we not supposed to say
it? I don't know, but I was just avoiding it. But anyway, no,
you have
yes.
a point as far as once they've set themselves on an interpretation, they do not move.
And there's all sorts of stuff they found in from ancient Egypt that they say, hey, this is for that or this is for this, when they don't actually know what it's for, and they never sent it to an engineer like, hey, what could this even be?
I mean, you'd think they'd at least consider the idea that a marital aid could be an object of worship in a phallic cult. You know, make it interesting for us, guys. We gave you this great education.
So I don't know. I think it's possible that the Great Pyramid and all of the others were built, you know, as they say, 12, 15,000 years ago. I don't know that it's likely, but they say they found, you know, cities and stuff like that.
The evidence that points toward it being like 13,000 years old is that there is, in fact, water erosion in the area around the Sphinx. So the area around the Sphinx...
Yes, because the Nile is constantly moving eastward and away from the Sphinx.
Right.
And it used to have like a water basin there, right?
Yeah, also the fact that you would have to have heavy rains over long periods of time, and the last time that was true was like 13,000 years ago. However, if the Sphinx was not actually just sitting there, but actually being used as a fountain... Which, there's this repeated pattern, you still see it in every major city, you see it in, you know, Paris, Washington, D.C., all over the place. You see there is a tower, followed by a fountain, followed by a major building.
Okay.
Now, whether this is just a religious holdover or not, you see this all of the time. Now, there is a method... by which you can take the ionized particles that occur in a fountain. You can basically stimulate the clouds behind that with basically gunpowder or something that has a similar effect to that, and you can then collect the electricity as it discharges from those two coming together.
Interesting. But regarding, I mean, I've seen theories that, you know, extraterrestrials built them, and I don't think that's likely.
I don't think so either.
But, I mean, that's really popular on, quote, the History Channel, where, oh, this Hindu text is proof that there was a nuclear alien battle in India 45,000 years ago or whatever. It's like, look, I'm not saying that's impossible, but I don't think that's what that passage is saying. And then that's the History Channel.
I think there are several indications that we have had previous eras of advanced technology that went in a very different direction than ours went. I mean, like, if you took out the semiconductor from our civilization, like, you've got nothing left. Like, everything in our world is based on the semiconductor, which allows computers to exist, allows radio waves to be harnessed. Like, that has been, like, a cornerstone of our entire method of technological development.
Sure.
Now, technology can easily develop in a completely different direction if that's not the thing that you've got. So, like,
I mean, we discussed this last week when we were talking about dolphins and evolution and their ability to create some sort of civilization down the road. They'll work with what they have.
Yeah, so long and thanks for all the fish.
Right. And generally the same is going to be true on whatever planet these ETs may or may not evolve on.
And I think they're from here.
It's not impossible. I think we're most likely to find some sort of life on the moon Titan.
Well, so finding life and finding life that is in any way similar to us are completely different.
I'm not saying they're the same, but finding life at all would drastically change the development of the human species and our technology and our philosophical growth forever.
I believe that they found mushroom spores in space, so I was thinking that mushrooms, because they can produce an array and a conversion of cells, and if they just found some organic material, I could see them creating life. And
I haven't heard about them finding mushroom spores in space. I haven't heard anything about that.
I had heard that they had. I know that I know for a fact that they've found the fossilized remains of bacteria on Mars, and that doesn't seem to have made a huge impact. There apparently is life on Venus, in fact. They've found particular chemical signatures that only show up from biological life.
That's one piece of evidence. It's not only. It's just it's getting replenished. Something as they're replenishing it, and the most obvious solution would be some sort of biological life, but it could also be volcanic activity or something like that. It would just be unusual.
If it is, then it's something that we have no idea what it is. But
Venus is drastically different from Earth. I wouldn't expect to find the same, you know, chemical reactions there that we find here.
And if the case is that it's not a biological origin there, then we might learn something very new about how the organic chemistry that goes on here on Earth goes. Because this is such an unexpected thing to find.
I think you're probably right, though. And from what I've seen, it most likely is biological. I don't remember what the chemical compound is. Right. But I remember that, you know, it dissolves very easily, especially with Venus's proximity to the sun, and mm-hmm. something has to be there replenishing it, with the most obvious answer being some sort of life.
Yeah. The only place we know it comes from is living things.
Yeah.
Well, so, yep.
There was a scholar that was asked to go to the Vatican. He put in and asked if he could study, you know, Dead Sea Scrolls and other writings. And he came to determination after 20 years that Jesus was a mushroom.
What?
And maybe this was like a, you know, throwing a wrench in the gears, but this is what he came up with. And I don't remember his name off my head, but this is a real thing, you know.
So
and,
I actually think that...
When you say mushroom, do you mean like... Jesus is a symbol of people doing psilocybin cubensis and having some sort of spiritual awakening?
Well,
like,
that's one way that it cured your ailment, possibly.
Like Jesus was a sentient mushroom. I mean, what are we talking here?
That's a good question. But I do think it was like a healer that they spread. Like, I could go on this whole topic, but...
Well, no, I've run into some of that, like you find it in the art, where the depiction of Jesus Christ is as... it is like a dead ringer for certain kinds of mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. I have never seen any art.
Oh, you've never seen that? No. Yeah. No, it's interesting. You should look it up.
I can't just look things up, but if you pull it up on your phone, I can look at it.
Reindeers can dig 6 inches into the ground, into the snow, to find mushrooms. And you just happen to find these presents under a Christmas tree. It's just these are coincidences that weren't mm-hmm. just to come about.
Oh, yeah.
Like, these are facts.
The depiction of Santa Claus is every inch a shaman. Like, the reindeer. So here's a fun fact, listeners. The way that you would ingest the little mushrooms that look like they do in Mario, the little Amanita muscaria mushrooms, there is a way of boiling them to do it, or you just drink the pee of reindeers.
Yes.
Because they love them, they digest them very well, and they leave enough of the psychoactive chemicals that the shamans would very regularly be drinking reindeer pee. Because it had the active ingredients. And then your shaman was able to, quote-unquote, fly. So you see, a flying reindeer. Also the fact that he's, you know, red and white
the colors.
Still carries over the Mario Brothers mushroom, the little one that makes you a giant.
That's fascinating. I've never heard that interpretation of Santa Claus before. It makes sense. I'm not saying I believe it, but there's validity to it.
And the purpose of the shaman is to go into the other world and find some really cool stuff and bring it back and share it with everyone.
603-283-6160. That's the call-in line. You can talk about whatever you want. When we get back, the Wuhan virus, the lab leak theory, is coming mainstream.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.